Justice Breyer is stepping down. What are the implications of that? And also, we talk about the Constitution, which is on trial, and why we need a constitutional reset. Email me directly, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA today, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win the American culture war at tpusa.com, where we exist to pass down American values from one generation to the other, tpusa.com. If you want to support our show, go to charliekirk.com/support. We dive into the Constitution, free speech, the restraints of the Constitution that some people believe exist that actually don't. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. We're going to keep unpacking this Justice Breyer news. Looks like our prediction was right. He's going to wait to summer to step down for a variety of reasons. Obviously, the most obvious is that he wants to play out this term and he wants to have his successor be confirmed while the Democrats still control the Senate. Now, there's a couple different ways that we can analyze this. The first is the Democrats are worried they're going to lose control of the United States Senate because of good candidates like Herschel Walker and Ron Johnson running. The second is that they're going to try to use this to motivate their base to try and, let's say, lessen the loss or try and mitigate the damage, I should say, of the pending red wave. They're trying to thwart the red wave. And it does go to this deeper point that I think the Democrats have a variety of different surprises they are going to roll out. They are not going to give up power easily. It's likely that Republicans are going to take back power. It's very likely, but it is not 100%. It's not certain by any means. And to think that Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are just going to willingly give up power without deploying every single trick they have at their disposal, you're fooling yourself, especially people that are near the end of their career. This is why they have the January 6th Commission. This is precisely why they're trying to now do this nonsense with the Supreme Court. They're going to try to politicize Roe versus Wade, amongst many other things. Now, another poll has Biden under 40% approval. A Harvard-Harris poll has Biden approval at 39%. The gender gap has also disappeared, and Biden is upside down with both men and women by 14 points. If Democrats felt confident that they would hold the Senate, they would want Breyer to stay on until they have a more secure vote and a larger margin. So then they could confirm a less moderate nominee. And so we don't know who the nominee is going to be. CNN already has seven black women on screen, right? Saying this is who should be the next Supreme Court justice. Cut 63, Fox News reports on Biden's 40% approval rating and other abysmal stats. Play cut 63.
First of all, if you look at the Real Clear Politics average, he's at about 40% on his approvals, which is terrible. The congressional ballot, meaning would you vote for a Republican or Democrat coming up in November? Republicans are actually leading that. We never lead that. Matter of fact, a lot of times we'll win national elections being slightly behind in the generic ballot. The right track, wrong track, 26.5% of Americans think we're on the right track. That is just, that's the basement. That is terrible. And the final thing in your Fox poll that came out the other day, 25% of Democrats are saying they won't vote for Joe Biden.
You know, the polling isn't good. So Democrats are going to deploy every single trick that they have. Now, the White House has already come out and they've said, look, there's no collusion between Justice Breyer. Yeah, right. Okay. There was someone that triangulated this. And by the way, Republicans probably did the same thing with Justice Kennedy. So I'm not even accusing them of anything nefarious. And you're trying to tell me Mitch McConnell was shocked that Justice Kennedy resigned? Like, oh, wow. I had no idea. So it's part of politics, part of Washington, D.C. I don't think there's anything to that. Now, Nancy Pelosi was asked, why are so many Republicans resigning? By the way, a lot of Republicans aren't retiring. There's 29 Democrats that have retired. Is that right? We are now at 29 Democrats that are retiring. There are 15 House Republicans that are retiring. And some of those 15 House Republicans are kind of these moderate Republicans that voted to impeach Donald Trump. Nancy Pelosi said, look, I think it's an indication that Republicans know that they'll probably be serving in the minority in Congress coming up in November. Play cut 64.
Two quick political questions. 15 House Republicans retiring next year.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
I think it's an indication that the Republicans know that they'll probably be serving in the minority in the next Congress and most likely with a Democrat in the White House. So I think it's maybe they think it's time to spend more time with their family.
And so Nancy Pelosi has an announcement of her own. Now, look, Nancy Pelosi, I could make fun of how she talks pretty well. She released this new video. It's a mockery of itself. It's not a parody. It's hard to believe. I'm tempted to play the entire 3 minutes of it just so you can get a little bit of a window into the ruling class. It's really hilarious. They asked me at the time, why am I running? The children. She slurs throughout the entire thing. Play cut 66.
Hello, it's Nancy. Thank you for the opportunity to share some thoughts with you, our VIPs, our volunteers in politics, in our ongoing engagement for the people. Thank you for being a constant source of new, fresh ideas and political activism to help Democrats deliver and to defend democracy. But as we say, we don't agonize, we organize. And that is why I am running for re-election to Congress and respectfully seek your support.
35th term. Look, Nancy Pelosi is going to win re-election for as long as she wants. She represents Western San Francisco, which San Francisco used to be a really nice place. I used to love to go to San Francisco. It's an interesting thing. So having grown Turning Point USA with an amazing team, it's not just me, but in the first couple of years traveling the country, I went to almost every single state, spent a lot of time in New York, a lot of time in LA, good amount of time in San Francisco. I grew up in 2012, 13, 14, 15, when I was 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. These cities had problems, but I never felt unsafe. I never felt in imminent danger. I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago. And I think that the decline of urban America is something that is one of the more depressing developments of my life. It really is. I don't find pleasure in saying Chicago, San Francisco, LA, Seattle, and Portland are deteriorating third world dystopian cities, which they are. I don't find joy in that. I think it's really sad. In fact, I think a country that doesn't have at least some form of, I don't want to say vibrant cities because I think urban areas are super depressing sometimes, but they should have some sort of energy. They should have some sort of spirit. To give you an idea, let me ask you a question. What is more damaging to a society? A nuclear bomb or Democrats? Let me ask you a question. What is more damaging to society? A nuclear bomb or Democrats? Well, thankfully, we've run that experiment. President Harry Truman famously dropped two atom bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in 1944, 45, right near there. Detroit was the heartbeat of America at the time. Detroit was the wealthiest city on the planet, an industrial capital. Fast forward to 2022, nearly almost 80 years, 75 years after the dropping of those bombs. Detroit looks like an atom bomb was dropped on it, and Hiroshima and Nagasaki look closer to Detroit. Public policy decisions can have just as big, if not more, of an impact on a city over 80 years than literally dropping an atomic bomb. What's worse for a society? Two atomic bombs that kill 80,000 people or 80 years of Democrat rule? If you walk the streets of Detroit right now, you would think, wow, this is where Harry Truman bombed his people. If you were to bring a child and say, we're going to tour Hiroshima and Nagasaki and we're going to tour Detroit, which one got bombed? Which one do you think they would say? And look, you got inflation. You got a potential electromagnetic pulse attack from China. You got 2 million people coming across the southern border. You might be living through a crisis and you might not even know it. Are you able to feed your family in case of crisis? I want you to remember this. You are 9 meals away from anarchy. 9 meals. What's the best thing you could do right now to protect yourself and your loved ones? Well, get yourself a proper stockpile of emergency food from our friends at My Patriot Supply. You've heard me talk about them many times last year when things got out of control. Start this year off right by getting yourself prepared for the bad times during the not so bad times. Personally, I think we are in the calm before the storm. Any day right now, something has got to give. And when it does, you do not want to be behind the eight ball when it comes to feeding your family. So here's the deal. Right now, save $50 off a 4-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. They average 2,000 calories per day. So go to preparewithkirk.com to get the special discount. You simply can't ignore this reality any longer. So go to preparewithkirk.com. That's preparewithkirk.com right now and save $50. 9 meals away from anarchy. If things were to fall apart, are you able to feed your family? Preparewithkirk.com. Go to preparewithkirk.com. When there is risk, there must be choice. That is something that the founding fathers understood, that if there is risk involved, you must be allowed to choose. And this is why liberty is the pursuit of virtue. For example, we have the right to own firearms. It is not mandatory to own a firearm. You might be intimidated. You might be scared of a firearm. Then fine, don't buy one. When there is risk associated with something, then you must trust agency. You must trust an individual to make the choice appropriate for their own life and their own sovereignty. Enshrined in the Declaration of Independence, articulated in the Virginia Declaration of Rights, and reasserted in the United States Constitution with the extension of the American U.S. Bill of Rights that came in 1791, is this idea of human equality. It's not that all people have the same gifts and talents, that everyone is the same size or same height. No, instead, it's that we're all the same sort of thing. We have the same duties, obligations, and rights. That is what a constitutional system establishes and sets up. In Cut 60 from Senator Ron Johnson's panel, Dr. Paul Alexander walked through how vaccines do not sterilize the virus or stop transmission, and how that will make it impossible to ever reach herd immunity. Play Cut 60.
And the key point he was making is, had we been using a vaccine that could sterilize the virus, that could stop transmission, we would not be in this situation. Whether or not the vaccine is needed. And the problem here is this vaccine does not stop infection, does not sterilize the virus, so it does not stop the transmission. You can never, ever get to population herd immunity 100% with these vaccines. Impossible.
So when there is risk, and also what you are pushing is not even working, why would you still mandate it? And that's where all of a sudden the centralization of power, the likelihood that a central authority is wrong more than right, is actually much higher. You're just in deal in pure percentages and pure probability, especially when you have the conflict of interest and the not so innocent inclinations of a group of bureaucrats that are highly corrupted, or heavily corrupted, I should say. The chance that they are going to get the mandate wrong is far better than you to be able to make the decision correctly. This is very logical when you think about it, because you have the ability to adapt. You have more agility. You also have a vested interest in looking after yourself. And so if all of a sudden you start to see a sequence of medical decisions that are being pushed upon you that don't make any sense, then you should be able to establish your individual sovereignty and say, yeah, I'm not doing that. Now, vaccine mandates, thankfully, are falling apart. Tragically, we pushed a vaccine on people. We've already started to see some of the adverse events, and I'm afraid we're going to see more mounting adverse events for years and decades and generations to come from that, for a vaccine that is not even protecting people against the very virus that they got the vaccine to try and prevent. When there is risk, there must be choice. Look, everybody, I know you love freedom and you want to defend it. And I know you love the Constitution. It's a beautiful document, and so do I. And it's the same with Hillsdale College, the best liberal arts college in America. Hillsdale's mission is pursuing truth and defending liberty. It gives its undergraduate and graduate students the best education and is working to make this education available to all, from offering free online courses to helping support K-12 schools. But today I want to tell you about Hillsdale's amazing free monthly digest of liberty. It's called Imprimis. Over 6 million households and businesses receive Imprimis for free each month. And you can join them by subscribing right now at charlieforhillsdale.com. That's charlieforhillsdale.com. There's no strings attached while you're there. Take an online course. Take their Aristotle course. Take their Winston Churchill course. Take their Western theology course. Generous donors who love freedom make it possible for Hillsdale to send you Imprimis for free. Imprimis is one of my favorite publications, and Imprimis means in the first place. It's short, smart, useful, and fun. Start receiving your own free copy of this great digest of liberty and take an online course while you're at it. Enroll. Their Great American Story course is incredible. Visit charlieforhillsdale.com. That's charlieforhillsdale.com. Check it out right now, charlieforhillsdale.com. It really is a constitutional question, isn't it? And the Constitution should be our guide in all this. You know, I had someone ask me the other day, said, Charlie, how are you ever going to unite all the different factions of the conservative movement? And I'm not totally interested in that, to be perfectly honest at times. But I will say that the Constitution is the non-negotiable. The Constitution recognizes God-granted rights, separation of powers, independent judiciary, consent to the governed, checks and balances. These are non-negotiable principles. The Constitution also is not a document that says you can't do anything about existential threats. This is something that's really important, is that if you understand the promises and the truths that are articulated in the United States Constitution, all of a sudden you might feel more empowered to actually handle some of the issues that are in front of us. Let me give you a great example of this. In the United States Constitution, it articulates both in the first seven articles of the Constitution and also in the First Amendment, it articulates a right to political speech, religious affiliation, and your ability to speak freely. Now, this is so typical of the left, right? So the left takes the First Amendment and they immediately say, how can we make America a more degenerate place based on a promise of the First Amendment? So they had all these lawsuits in the 70s and 80s, and they won a lot of them to say that, oh, pornography and swearing and all these things, that's First Amendment. No, it's not, okay? People say, oh, that's free speech. If you actually go to what the founders said is free speech, it was really two groups of people, and Jim Acosta is going to really love this. It's people that are journalists and people that are newspaper writers and truth seekers to hold politicians accountable and religious officials. That really is the two buckets of people the First Amendment was designed to write. Now, I'm not saying there should be a Politburo of censorship that goes around and shuts everyone up. I actually would be open to turning off some of the garbage that our 9-year-olds are actually consuming on the internet. They're like, oh, no, that's free speech. Actually, no, it's not. It's really creepy. But let's kind of take that one step at a time. Speech that questions and challenges the regime is not just protected, it is imperative. If you do not have speech that questions people in charge, then you have nothing more than an obedient population within the people that own the lines of communication, or you have a propaganda arm. And so I'll give you a great example, which is kind of this Biden press conference that has gotten, you know, received a lot of attention. Do you notice that almost no one interrupts Joe Biden when he's doing his answers? With Donald Trump, they would interrupt him almost relentlessly. That's not a media that is in need of constitutional protection. What is an example of a media that is in need of constitutional protection? How about Project Veritas with James O'Keefe? James O'Keefe's home was raided by the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, because he dared to publish articles with Pfizer and DARPA and Department of Defense. And also, James O'Keefe happened to be a recipient of an alleged diary that was Ashley Biden's that he did not even publish. But the Constitution being the centerpiece, and, you know, they always talk about the Great Reset. I think we need a constitutional reset. It doesn't mean you have to be stuck in a state of paralysis when it comes to existential threats to our liberties. So when Google and Facebook start to restrict political speech, such as they did in October, that should be a violation of the promise and of the contract and the compact of the First Amendment. You see, an improper reading of the First Amendment is like, oh, that's a private business. Facebook can do whatever they want. No. Actually, that's as much of a public forum where you're saying that the New York Post can't publish negative articles against Hunter Biden. You go read the Federalist Papers. Go dive deep into the literature of the Founding Fathers. They were very clear. At the time, it was mostly pastors, but it applies to other religious officials, rabbis, etc. Religious officials must have unquestioned, let's say, completely protected ability to speak, assemble, communicate as they see fit. And so should journalists and members of the media. Now, what's the significance of those two things? Why would the Founding Fathers, as they were designing a constitutional construct, why would they point out religious officials and journalists or people that are commenting about those sorts of issues? Not just the officials, but let's say those categories. Not pornography or swear words or some sort of lunatic trying to pervert your children to go become a transgender person or whatever, right? Oh, yeah, the blessing of liberty includes drag queen story hour. Actually, it doesn't. Okay, that's called licentiousness. Why those two things? One holds power accountable and fulfills the, let's say, not the promise, but it holds in check the truth articulated by Lord Acton. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. The Founding Fathers knew this. That's the point of having communication and having discourse and having dialogue and having publication and having journalists that are willing to go after those stories. And secondly, if you do not have a moral underpinning of a society, then liberty turns to license within a couple months. And James Madison knew this. James Wilson, who's not as much of a cited person, knew this. Gouverneur Morris knew this as part of the Founding Fathers, kind of group of authors and writers. They knew that if you do not have the ability for pastors and priests, rabbis and religious officials to be able to pursue virtue and instill virtue on a society, then limited government is a temporary mirage. It is built on a metaphorical house of cards. And so when we look at this idea of holding powerful people accountable, I believe in small government, a small but strong government. We should also believe in small pharma. Big pharma is not something that we as Republicans should automatically support. Cut 61, Dr. Robert Malone shares that he met with Nancy Pelosi's office and recommended the CDC aid stratify the vaccine risks versus benefits, but no action was taken. Play cut 61.
Regarding the age stratification, I was asked not to speak about this by Nancy Pelosi's office, but I had a meeting with them last fall, and I specifically asked that they ask the CDC to age stratify. And there was absolutely no action taken. So it's not as if the administration and the senior leadership in the House, at least, was not aware of this issue of age stratification.
It's hard sometimes being on the eight ball as things happen. Unfortunately, this is where the conservative base has been so right yet so ignored. And the premier issue or the best example of this was and is big tech. We're doing our podcast. And also, we're streaming on rumble.com. You know where we're not streaming? YouTube. Why? Because we've participated in way too many thought crimes. So we are not able to communicate to our 561,000 subscribers or our 2.4 million fans on Facebook, a combined audience of nearly 3 million people, because we are mentioning facts, circumstances, and ideas that would be censored or canceled by the regime media. Now, it's easy to complain about it, but the real question is, why didn't Republicans do anything about that in 2017 and 2018 when they controlled the House, the Senate, and the White House and said they cut corporate taxes for these companies? The answer is twofold. Number one, it's because of the corruption. But number two, Republicans really had convinced themselves that it's not a role of government to protect your rights. Republicans had really convinced themselves amongst the intelligentsia that, hey, we might be here, but it's really not our role to protect your rights. No, no, no. This is where people read the Constitution incorrectly. The founding fathers envisioned government as the ultimate, let's say, entity that will restrict your freedoms and liberties. But now we have seen a new government created out of Silicon Valley. And the fact that a sitting U.S. senator mentioning the government's own vaccine adverse event database would get us censored should be totally unacceptable. But it isn't. The Overton window moves. They move the limit of acceptable debate where it's like, oh, that's just Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. Like, yeah, have you ever been there? That's basically the attitude. Like, Wisconsin, really? We hate that place. And this is one of the reasons why I think Ron Johnson is going to win re-election by 3, 4, 5, 6 points is just Wisconsin is going to reassert their pride of being a state. That it's like, yeah, I don't know if I like Ron Johnson, everything he's doing, but I know he loves Wisconsin, and I love Wisconsin, and I live here, and I hate Manhattan, and I can't stand Malibu, and I don't like how they talk down to us. The Constitution allows plenty of opportunities for action as long as they're protecting natural rights. And the most important of which is the right to speech. That is who we are as human beings. We are the speaking beings. We are the only beings that is able to communicate verbally, not just pain and pleasure, but right and wrong. In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God. That's John 1. And the word, logos, means reason, speech. There's lots of different interpretations for that. So you think about it, it's like, wow, our ability to reason, our ability to make sense of the natural world, our ability to communicate, our ability to use common nouns, which I've talked about the common noun miracle many times on this program, is what makes us uniquely human. So what do you say to a government that doesn't allow you to do the thing that makes you human? What do you say for a government that doesn't allow you to speak? That's why the founding fathers took it as the First Amendment. They knew that if you were not able to challenge authority or pursue virtue, all the other promises of the U.S. Constitution, all the other aspects of the constitutional order shatter. They fall apart almost instantaneously. Towels are mostly garbage. They feel soft and lotiony in the stores, but you get them home and they don't absorb. Well, Mike Lindell and MyPillow found out around 2006 that towels change forever. They started importing them and adding softeners and other things that cotton that made them feel good but didn't work. He found the best towel company right here in America. They have proprietary technology to create towels that feel soft but actually work. And they're all made with USA cotton, and they come with a MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. It's a 6-piece set, 2-bath, 2-hand towels, 2 washcloths, made with USA cotton, soft yet absorbent, regularly $109.99, now just $39.99. Mike Lindell is a fighter. Check it out right now. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener special and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the towels. Enter promo code Kirk or call 800-875-0425 for these great radio specials. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Do it right now. Joe from Charlottesville added a really nice piece of context. In 1789, the word press was not commonly associated with news. It incorporates all the ability to speak and to publish. That's exactly right. And the founding fathers knew that as a moral good for a variety of different reasons, for expression, but also to challenge authority. So Justice Breyer is stepping down. There's a variety of different takes here. I am not overly excited about this. I think Democrats are probably likely to screw this up, but I think that there's a potential that they could use this as a base motivator, especially in certain districts. Now, I promised I would play this tape, and not everyone remembers this, but one of the great moments of all time, when Donald Trump heard that Ruth Bader Ginsburg had passed away, done with just incredible class and with remarkable instincts as it happened. Play tape.
She just died? Wow. I didn't know that. I just, you're telling me now for the first time. She led an amazing life. What else can you say? She was an amazing woman. Whether you agreed or not, she was an amazing woman who led an amazing life. I'm actually sad to hear that. I am sad to hear that. Thank you very much.
I mean, a Hollywood cinematographer and movie scorer couldn't produce a better scene. I mean, the lighting behind his hair was perfect. The tie, the tone, the balance between the music and the statement, the walk away. It was so poetic as the music fades. It was classy. It reminds me as we kind of go through the Supreme Court thing. I remember as it happened, I was like, ooh, how's it? Because he actually was doing a rally as the news broke. Remember that, Connor? And he gets off the stage. He goes and does that. Goes totally viral. So Justice Breyer has resigned or is resigning. Our prediction was right. He's not going to make it immediate. It's going to be effective after the summer term. So we are going to have a summer Supreme Court fight. I think Republicans would be very wise not to dig in too deep and to make this about Manchin and Sinema. Know the votes you have. Hold the line. I think it would be disappointing if Mitt Romney and Susan Collins decided to try and win over the moderates by trying to signal that they might vote for this. We don't even know the nominee, but we know it's going to be someone who's super radical, kind of a Sotomayor. This does not upset the balance of the court. Let me say that this again. It does not upset the balance of the court. You'd be substituting a liberal for a liberal. The fear, though, that Democrats have is like, oh, what if Breyer dies in 2 years? And again, I'm not saying I don't wish that upon him. He's 83, so it's, you know, he's playing on the back nine. And so you have the Senate that will probably go to Republican hands, and then maybe in 2024, a Republican president. They don't want to play that game. They don't. So this very well might be them indicating that they're afraid that they're going to lose power very soon, that they are increasingly worried that this might fall apart. Now, they need to solidify 50 votes first. And so I think Republicans need to just kind of say, you control the apparatus, have at it. I think McConnell needs to be careful not to look like a hypocrite here, because he's going to be like, oh, why are you doing this in an election year? Just basically, I think that McConnell needs to say, look, you guys control the Senate right now after two very suspicious election wins in Georgia. We'll see how much longer you control it. Try to pull this off without a single Republican vote. Thanks for shopping. I think that's going to be McConnell's approach, and I would support that. Have fun. Yeah, exactly. Have fun winning over Tester and winning over Sinema and winning over Manchin. And also, have fun trying to explain to the voters of Arizona, Mark Kelly, that you just voted for a radical Supreme Court justice 90 days before polls open. Like, good luck, Raphael Warnock, explaining that one to the great people of Gainesville, Georgia, that, yeah, vote for me so you get a radical takeover of the United States Supreme Court. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, you could do so at tpusa.com. And if you want to email us your thoughts, as always, you can do so, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.